This is Good for Me, written by the Asexual of Spades and read by Flower Parish. This is a Merlin fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Gwen/Leon. Tagged: sparring, flirting, let's be so real, competent Leon, and Gwen has noticed TM. This is fine. This is fine. This is, in fact, a good thing. It's a very good thing. In no way, actually, could this be considered a bad thing. Especially if Gwen's taking into account the reason he thinks this isn't a good thing, it is, in fact, a good thing. A thing he has often looked for, actually, so that makes it a good thing. A great thing, even, if he wanted to call it that. Yes, a good thing. This is a good thing. He slumps into his hands with a groan. The day had started off so well. Is still going well, because he's decided this is a good thing. They'd had not much to do this week in the wake of hosting several large tournaments the month before, which meant Arthur had given them all the morning off from training. They'd all come away with their fair share of bruises and victories, after all, and no one could say the Knights of the Round Table hadn't earned their place in Camelot's warriors. They could, Arthur had reasoned, most reasonably, afford one morning off before resuming training that afternoon. Merlin probably had something to do with the suggestion. So Gwen had the morning to walk around the town and pick up a few errands he hadn't gotten around to. A new delivery of supplies for the nice boy who worked with the dogs in the kennels, a shipment of something for the kindly old woman who made pretty shiny jewelry, but was a little too hesitant to pick up her larger parcels herself, and a large bag of older bread loaves from the baker he could give to the kids scurrying around the lower town. He'd also managed to sweet-talk his way into an extra sweet pastry for the lovely lady who opens her house to them on stormy nights, and she'd given him a kiss on his cheek for his troubles. Then he'd been able to convince Merlin to let him drag the both of them outside, just to get away from the perils of Arthur's paperwork, just so Princess Pratt didn't become too much of a Pratt before Merlin had to do something drastic like magic his papers all over his face. Oh, also remind Merlin that at least three knights would be willing to say to hell with their vows in case someone ever caught wind of his magic and wasn't too pleased about it. Merlin had just glanced warily at Arthur and bumped his hand against Gwen's. They'd get to the point where Arthur just flat-out legalized magic, but they weren't there yet. And then he'd had lunch, stealing a little bit of extra with Percival because they were still growing boys, no matter what Cook said, and they needed their food. And then it was time for a quick nap in his sun-warmed bed before going out to the field for training. That's where the trouble started. Not trouble. This is a good thing that happened. This is not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. It's a very good thing that Arthur had suggested they hold their own little mini-tournament amongst themselves. Ostensibly, it was to check what gaps they all had in their training, so they knew what to work on next. Privately, Gwen's sure it has something to do with the comment Merlin had made earlier about Arthur not competing in the parts where he knew he would lose. So, Gwen, along with the others, had exchanged mischievous smiles and gotten ready to kick the brotherly snot out of each other. And for the first few rounds of basic melee combat, that's how it went. Percival knocked out Elion, then Lancelot was defeated by Arthur, even though he's pretty sure Lancelot lost on purpose so he could go gossip with Merlin. Then Leon went against Percival. At first, this was fine. It's still fine, it is. It's just that it's Percival. Even the largest of fighters will balk for a moment when they first step into combat with him, and then it's normally a matter of wearing him down long enough to get him to make a mistake. That's what they all expected, which is why they all flopped down to watch. And then, less than 10 seconds later, Leon had Percival on his knees with his sword at his throat. If you paid Gwen all of the coin in Camelot's vast treasury, he wouldn't be able to tell you how that happened. Arthur recovered first, putting down his water skin with a cough and getting up to offer Gawain his hand, but Gawain was too busy staring at Leon. Now, he's not too proud to admit that Leon rubbed him the wrong way at first. He was everything his family had desperately wanted him to be, and he did it so well that it was like he was born for it. The courtly manners, the knack for paperwork, hell, even the eloquence when the situation didn't necessarily call for it. It makes sense that Camelot's first knight was an incredible fighter, of course, let alone someone who had risen to the title under Uther Pendragon, but this wasn't just being an incredible fighter. This was. He's too in his head to bother actually fighting Arthur, and he lets himself get beaten quite soundly. Soundly enough that Arthur gives him a worried look, but he begs an injury from the tournament. Healed enough, don't worry, Merlin, but just enough of a problem that he probably shouldn't strain a day. Look how responsible he is. And wobbles over to sit back down. Partially, he wants to see if that was a fluke, and partially, he wants to see Arthur actually fight someone. Even more partially, he's worried about what would happen if he tried to fight Leon while he was like that. It's not a fluke. His jaw isn't the only one on the ground as they fight, but at this point, it doesn't even feel like the right word to describe it. This isn't just fighting. This isn't just sparring on a tournament field. This is the stuff bards sing about. This is the stuff that gets written down and passed into legend. This is all the stuff they tell squires knighthood would feel like, and Gawain's survived this long by being able to analyze fighting styles and make sure that he knows what's coming at him. But this, he can't pay attention to anything past the gleam of steel and the swirl of red and the swift, sure movement of a man who knows his body is a weapon and will wield it with grace and nobility and the honor of a first knight. Arthur is yielding. Of course he is. What else are you supposed to do when a man like that raises his weapon to meet yours? They have a break after that, except Leon looks fine. Like that wasn't even that challenging of a fight for him. Which is good, it wouldn't do to have such an excellent fighter out of commission after one bout. But then Leon is sighing and propping himself against the weapons table next to Gawain, and their shoulders are pressed together and... Listen, Gawain is not the one who gets hot under the collar first. He's the one with the low voice and the sweet words and the strong arms to catch whoever goes weak at the knees. He's not supposed to be the one with weak knees. He's just tired from the tournament. That's it. He'd like to think it was a fluke. A passing. After fancying so many men with less skill than him with a blade, it was just the reminder that yes, there were fighters who surpassed his own talent. It would fade. It would pass. Then, the day continued, and there was a startling trend emerging. Leon knew how to coach his footwork better than Arthur. Leon adjusting his grip on a quarterstaff to hold it properly. Leon answering a medical question before Merlin. Leon heading over to handle a matter from the steward without Arthur needing to tell him anything. Leon looking at him with a sly grin after a joke that had him choking on his water. Leon winking at him right before a fight and chuckling when it made him stumble. Leon. Which brings him to here. His head is in his hands, his heart in his throat, and his mind lodged firmly between Leon's fingers wrapped around the hilt of his sword. It's no secret that Gawain admires a person who is very good at what they do. It's why he adores Merlin, lovingly trails after Gwen when she allows it, but there's little more than platonic affection between all of them, trinkets in a matching set that shine perfectly well on their own, just a little bit better together. It's why he's always had at least a grudging respect for Arthur, born into something far stronger over the time they've known each other. It's what keeps him so close to the other knights, what keeps him here, after everything. But this... Christ, is there anything the man can't do? There's a knock on his door. He frowns, pulling himself up and going to open the door, only to see Leon. Great. This is fine. This is fine. This is a good thing. Probably. Gawain? Right, staring like an idiot. He gives himself a shake and throws on a grin. Well, our glorious champion, what brings you by this evening? I've been reliably informed that you're the only person who knows what a treasure this is. What tre- Oh, you don't, he breathes, when Leon holds out a bottle of Demutrasec Red. How in the hells did you even get that? One of the traders who passed through during the tournament offered it to me. I figured we could use the chance to celebrate. Celebrate what? Then his brain processes the rest of the sentence. Wait, you've had this for nearly a fortnight and you haven't told me? Allow me to make it up to you then. Now, Gwaine was not in his right mind, and he knew it perfectly well. So, when Leon's voice suddenly dipped much lower, he didn't let himself read into it. After all, that was hardly why he'd come to see Gwaine this evening. He had probably just finished up with something far more important and decided to bring the wine. The wine that Gwaine had confessed was his favorite, the only thing he missed from home, and had gotten at the last tournament. Yes, that was it. Am I to stand in this hallway all night? It might make apologies a little more difficult. Oh, right, sorry. He quickly stands aside and lets Leon pass, only to belatedly realize that Leon isn't in armor. He is in a light tunic and breeches. You're... Leon looks over, an eyebrow raised. I'm what? You're not in armor. Will I be needing it? No, I've no intention of fighting you. Pity. Again, reading too much into the flash in Leon's eyes. I did think you and I would be fighting for the final round earlier. Gwaine does not flush, and he does not stumble, as he makes it back to the table. Couldn't deprive you of the chance to kick Princess's royal arse. A low chuckle as Leon pours the wine. Gods, even the smell is enough to spring a lump to his throat. The chance would have come up again. No, I was looking forward to trying my hand against the man who held two men back as he cut down the third. He raises his cup in a toast. Gwaine only remembers to pick his up after an embarrassingly long pause. He eyes him over the rim as he takes a sip. The rumble of approval at the taste makes Gwaine's chest do something strange. I see why you miss this, Leon says quietly. It's an extraordinary flavor. Yeah. He looks down at the rich color. My sister, we didn't agree on most things, but when our parents were getting a little too much, we'd hide on the back steps with a bottle until it was gone. You don't speak of your home very often. I don't think of it as home anymore. Is Camelot your home now? Gwaine shrugs. It's the people. The people more than the kingdom. If you decided to leave, I'd go with you. Then he realizes what he just said, to Camelot's first night, no less, and his head snaps up. All of you, I mean, if Arthur, for some reason, decided to become a farmer in the middle of nowhere. Leon hasn't blinked, still looking at him with a soft expression he can't hope to name, letting another laugh spill into the room. It would be the most well-defended farm in the lands. Right, though I can't really picture Arthur doing farm work. We'd get him to haul a plow. Would we? If he misbehaves, we could always get Merlin to turn him into a donkey again, he says with a smirk, and Gwaine nearly chokes on the wine. Because he's laughing. That was funny, see? That would do the trick. They keep talking. Just talking. Leon keeps pouring him more wine, his legs stretching out more and more until his knee is resting against the inside of Gwaine's. The simple contact is more than enough to make his head spin, the wine floating in his chest until his heart bobs helplessly along its sweet currents. He has no idea what words he's let slip past his lips, no idea how long they've been sitting there as Leon looks at him, talks to him, smiles at him. And he's no idea how much of the wine he's drunk until he reaches for his cup and finds it dry. Would it be terribly rude of me to ask that we switch to water? Of course not. There's already water on the table. When did that happen? There, I'll save the rest for next time. It's your wine. You should enjoy it. His brain is truly not working at optimal speed because he finishes about half of the water before choking out, next time. Something flickers across Leon's expression before settling into another wry grin. Did you not think your favorite wine was meant to be split between us? I didn't. What? Leon chuckles, leaning a little closer. He's very close now. Has he always been this close? His knee is still resting against Gwaine's. Something the matter? Guess I'm just surprised, he manages. Figured this wasn't how you wanted to spend an evening. Oh, and how did you expect I'd spend my evenings? With a book, perhaps out for a walk, maybe going to the tavern if you felt like sharing a drink with the other knights. The same way Merlin's fond of the tavern. Gawain nudges his leg with his, meant to be like a friendly shove of don't fool around. But instead, Leon chuckles, low and smooth, keeping his leg pressed right up against Gawain's. He fumbles for the water and takes another long drink. Do you imagine that often, me at the tavern? No. The honesty surprises both of them. Didn't think that was your style. And what is my style? Gawain shrugs. The wine must have gone to his ears. That's why they feel so warm. Figured someone like you didn't need a style. Oh, and why is that? He lets out a hoarse laugh. You're telling me no courtiers are falling over themselves for Camelot's first night? Most courtiers know I've no interest in anything with them beyond my duties. Something about that hurts, but his heart is too buoyed by the wine for it to strike true. Is that so? Leon hums, his fingers tapping the table near Gawain's hand. Besides, there's a little too much involved for all those courtly proceedings. So formal, needing to be approved at every step. That's no way to do it, is it? No, gods no. He's drunk. That has to be it. That's why he's talking about courting with Leon, of all people. He takes another drink of water. Whatever happened to offering someone a drink and seeing where things led? He startles slightly at the warm touch of Leon's calloused fingers covering his hand, thumb stroking lightly over his knuckles. He looks up. Leon's eyes are dark. He tilts his head. You tell me. Oh. Oh. Oh no. How? Gawain says weakly. Are you good at everything? Leon just laughs, low and rich and terrible. I'm not sure you know if I'm good at everything yet, Gawain, but if you'd like, I'd be happy to put that theory to the test. Later, Gawain maintains that he's right. Leon is good at everything. Leon insists that Gawain is better at some things, but he's more than willing to reevaluate. Gawain is only too pleased to comply. The end.
You knew who I was with every step that I ran to you. Only blue or black days. Electing strange perfections in any stranger I choose. Would things be easier?